in our lives. So I've been kind of want to continue about prayer, just to really continue to know that prayer is part of our life. It's like breathing, you know, to be in communication with our Heavenly Father at all times, to share what we're going through. Even we have our, maybe we feel, I shared last week how we think that we don't measure up. But we do measure up because of Christ. Right? And it's all because of Jesus. Plain and simple. I can't live the life that I'm living without Christ. I can't live without the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I can't live without being in communication with Him. And that's to go to Him throughout our day and to pray. And really to share your heart. It's amazing how God, He already knows what you need. Right? But yet He wants you to pray. And yet He wants you to go to Him. No matter how you may feel, because we, too many times we go by feelings. And we're not supposed to go by feelings, because our feelings go up and down. Some days are high, some days are low. But the Word of God is always, that's why He gives us promises. So that we do know who He is, that He's the same today, yesterday, in the future. He doesn't change. I think of the golden altar when they, do you think of it? When the priest carried the golden altar, represents prayers. But also it always stayed level. Whenever they carried up a hill, the altar stayed level. It was going downhill, the altar stayed level. When you think about that, when you look in the Old Testament, how God uses those things to keep us reminded that prayer, no matter how we feel, no matter what we're going through, He wants us to pray. To be consistent and in our prayer life. Right? And if we haven't, don't beat yourself up. Say, Father, forgive me for not praying as much as I should. But teach me. Give me a heart to pray. And you know, even you can write down, you say, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment to You today that I'm going to spend so many half hour, an hour with You each day, no matter how busy I get. I think when we write down a commitment, so it's a visual aid for us to say, yes, I made this commitment. And I'm going to stick to it. Right? God is always faithful to His Word. He wants to know if we could, He could trust us. And sometimes we fall short of that. Right? We don't always obedient all the time. Not 100% faithful all the time, I should say. But we, you know, but just say, Lord, I know I said I would spend so much time with You today. Lord, help me. Help me to prioritize what I need to be doing, and that's be with You. You know, there's things of this world just trying to get our attention off of Christ. These sicknesses, you know, try and take us, all these different things, try and take our eyes off of Christ. And we don't need that. Right? Keep your eye on Christ. So perhaps this is one of the greatest challenges for believers in our day is to walk with the Lord closely so that the world comes to know Jesus through the witness of the Bride of Christ, and through our personal walk with Christ. Right? The world is looking at us. That's the amazing thing. Before I became a believer, I looked, and I wasn't really happy what I seen in the church. Nor was I happy with people who said they were Christians. I'm not saying that's how it is here. But people are looking. And people are actually looking, are you actually walking the way you say you're walking. And that's the testimony unto Christ. We're his ambassadors. We are living for him. We represent him. Right? We are representing the risen Lord. We don't represent ourselves. In a way, we kind of do, but we kind of really represent Christ. You know, we are called to live a life that honors and glorifies our Heavenly Father. So we ought to decrease, and he's supposed to increase in our lives. It's amazing. I put down Isaiah 43:18-19 on Tuesday night. I know I shared this, I think, last year, at our last annual meeting. And I was just, it was again on Tuesday. It says, remember not the formal things. Remember not the formal things. Do not dwell in the past. Unless Kathy has a different, but that's, do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not deceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So forget the formal things. When we come to Christ, he makes us a new creation. Now, we're not supposed to remember the things of the past. We're not supposed to try and go there. I know sometimes we're going to have things that are going to linger, like little baggages that we need to deal with. Well, that's a different topic. But don't dwell in the past. Don't say, this is how I used to be. But no, Lord, thank you for who I am today because of you. And I thank you, Lord, for how you're changing my life today. Thank you, Lord, that you are sanctifying me day in and day out because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross. And even when he rose on the third day, I have victory because of Christ's resurrection. Right? I'm doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in us. And it's sometimes it's like when you go in the wilderness, you don't know, am I going down the right trail? But Christ is our compass. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. If we're looking, because if you look at the compass, you're looking which way is the true north or which direction you need to go. You're looking at that. You're not looking at what your surroundings are, but you're looking at the compass. The Holy Spirit guides us. He leads us through whatever we're facing. Right? He's going to direct our way. And as we trust him and rely on him, we're going to go through things. But he's going to help us through those things. He's going to reveal things that need to be dealt with or help us to grow in him and to trust him more than what we do now. In Hebrews 11:24, it says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So when he grew up, he refused to be known as Pharaoh's daughter. So you think about in Isaiah 43, you know, forgetting the formal things, do not dwell on the past. Moses didn't want to be known as Pharaoh's son. He wanted to identify with the Jewish people because that was his people. And for us, who do we identify ourselves to be today? I hope so. I'm a child of God. I've been redeemed. I've been paid and purchased in full by the blood of Christ. No longer I live. Right? It's Christ that lives within. And so as we're remembering this, and we're praying, Father, thank you that you're reminding me of your goodness, of your mercy. When we go to him in prayer, we start praising him. Our focus is totally turned on to him, that he would increase more in our lives and that we would decrease. It's an amazing thing when the Father is revealing to us who he is. Right? It's us. It's when we spend time with him, putting off the things of this world that are trying to catch our eyes and trying to distract us and try to lead us astray, and brings hopelessness, regret. But it's all different when we go to Christ. He gives us hope because He is hope. He's the one who changes us. It's not us trying to be a good person. It's Christ that changes us. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, to put off your old self. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupted through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So I think 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about that. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So taking captive every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. We're responsible for taking captive every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. And when we pray, we are reminded or reminding and taking hold of it. It's part of the armor of God. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. God, the things of this world, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we battle against the spiritual realm. And in Daniel, when Daniel prayed for 21 days, and finally, you know, we might not get an answer right away, but there's a battle going on that we can't see. And as I shared last week with Elijah prayed, right? He prayed. And he prayed. He never gave up. And then God answered it and gave him a little cloud. And he praised him for that cloud because that cloud turned into a big thunderstorm. Perseverance. We persevere through prayer, supplication. Right? As we pray to him, to trust him. Right? You know, in Romans 12:2 says, you know, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right? I could pray and ask God, Lord, change my attitude. But we also have to take an action, right? Take captive every thought. That's our responsibility. He has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. He's given a thing, all things, but we need to take hold of those things. We can have all the weapons in front of us, but if we don't take hold of those weapons, you know, like in Ephesians talk about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate, you know, the sword, the shield, the full armor of God. If we have it all, but if we don't want to take it, it's kind of hard to defend against the schemes of the enemy. Right? We have all this stuff. He has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Right? It's him that he's given us all these things. But are we willing to put off the old nature? Are we willing to say, no, I'm not going to live how I used to live. I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to trust what God says. He will help you through this. Right? I think that's what Maroon was trying to say. You know, I could preach till I'm blue in the face, but it's up to us. Do we really want to walk with the Lord? And how closely do we want to walk with the Lord? That decision is up to you. My hope is that we all walk with the Lord very closely, that we would hear his voice so clearly, and we would know his will, that we would be guided by the Holy Spirit. Right? You know, God wants us to love him and have fellowship with him. In Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. Are we seeking him? When we go to prayer, we are seeking him. We are putting off our old self. Our old self doesn't want to seek God. Our old self wants to seek what's it in for me. Do you know that's true? I know it is, right? We're reminded. It's amazing how much love This is the love of God. The love of God disciplines us at times. That's the love of God. He disciplines us for our good, but he also reminds us to come to him. You know, anyone who's walked with the Lord for any length of time wholeheartedly attests to God's goodness and his wisdom in answering our prayers in accordance with how we would expect a loving, wise, and good parent to answer us. A good parent will answer. So I believe prayer is a very fundamental thing. Basic fundamental for any believer. And I know I'm growing in prayer. And I think it's tough. How many believe it's tough to pray?
Some days,
yeah. Right? It's very tough. I know sometimes before I pray, I put on some worship music and worship God. Then I'll pray. Right? But every day is different. I think as a body of believers, as we learn to pray, that we would, and even when we're praying, God reveal to, maybe I should be praying for so-and-so today in the church, to lift them up and to pray for, you know, whatever situations. And maybe it's good for, and sometimes it's good for us to text people and say, "Noah, can you pray for me today?" Right? Like I shared last week, sometimes we're very individualistic. I'll got this, I do it on my own, I'll struggle through it. Right? But where is that in the Bible? In the Bible, it's about the body of Christ coming together. It's the body, because we're all different. We're different parts of the body. Some of us are feet, some of us are toes, some of us are the legs, and all different parts. But right, so we all need each other to pray for one another, encourage one another, to help one another. And prayer is the way of saying, "Lord, I don't really know how to pray for so-and-so, but I know that you know. But I'm going to lift them up. I'm going to stand up for them. I stand in the gap for them. I'm going to intercede for them today. But Lord, that you would just direct my prayer how to pray for them." You know, if we pray, we discover that it's a part of abiding in Christ. Because prayer not only changes things, it changes us. That's a big thing about prayer, how it changes us. And how it turns our focus off of us and onto God. So that he will increase and that we will decrease. So don't wait till you're abiding in Christ to pray. Pray that you'll soon begin to find yourself abiding in Christ. So don't wait until you're abiding in Christ to pray. "Well, I'm not going to do it until I get better, until I get myself better, until I get all of my ducks in a row before I do this." That's the wrong thing. Because that's not really trusting in Christ. It's not really trusting in the Holy Spirit to help you. Because it's when we say that, it's actually saying that I'm going to be doing it under my own strength. I need to do this. I need to get all my stuff right before I start doing this. Or I'm going to do all this. I need to get this stuff. I need to take care of this. I need to take care of that. That's not the right way. Lord, help me to do this today and do it. Put your faith into action. Because then it's not really, that's being double-minded. You know, my hope that we stir up, that you be stirred up to pray and become passionate. That our focus would be honoring our Heavenly Father. And that's what prayer is about, is honoring our Heavenly Father. And I think sometimes I might offend some people, I don't know, when I say this. So let me take a drink of water. Yeah. No, you know, usually sometimes I offend. But it's in love-y, not really. But I think some of us have been duped. And we don't ask, seek, or knock, like in Matthew 7:7, because of the terrible effects of the prosperity gospel. Proponents of the prosperity gospel is their chief focal point is seeking what God can give them instead of seeking what really the throne of God. The prosperity gospel is all about what I could get from the gospel. Instead of, because my hope, and I know it is for us, is that our focus is praying to our Heavenly Father so that His kingdom will be glorified and that He be glorified. My desire is that He will increase. The prosperity gospel has done a disservice to the body of Christ because it's all about ourselves. What can we get? And it's so many times we say, look at that church, how it's prospering. But you look at a lot of people who are coming under fire who are prosperity gospel teachers are totally dishonoring God by giving, saying it's, if you're not have all this or this, then you not don't have enough faith. There's a lot of stuff that is being taught is not of God, and we need to be wise to what is being taught. And if we're praying and seeking Him in His Word, we will see that the prosperity gospel is the false doctrine. And it's very harmful to God. It brings a disservice to Him. So, you know, if you have questions, you can always talk to me about it. But it's a very disservice. And it really gets me going. I'm very calm about how dishonoring the prosperity gospel is. And it's not the true gospel that's being taught. So, as a shepherd, my desire is for us to be wise to what we listen to, what we watch, what books we read. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, am I supposed to be reading this? But as we spend time with Him in prayer, as we read His Word, and when things hear differently than what we understand, we have questions to go and ask. But don't be caught up in the prosperity movement. What does God want us to prosper in? Yeah, our spiritual growth. That's what He wants us to prosper. The prosperity gospel doesn't talk about that. It's about finances, about money, about to have all these nice homes, about all these cars. But the prosperity gospel that Christ is talking about is that we would prosper spiritually in Him, that He would be glorified, right? He wants us to prosper in knowing Him, in loving Him, adoring Him. That's what He wants to prosper in our own lives, so that He will increase and that we will decrease. I hope that makes sense why I don't like the prosperity gospel, because it's teaching the wrong gospel. I'll leave the other one alone for the next one next time. But anyways, the prosperity gospel, what He wants us to prosper is our spiritual walk with Him. He wants us to grow in love with Him more and more all the time. It's just like a husband and wife. It's just the time you spend with your wife or a husband, you get to know each other so intimately that you know what they're going to be saying or thinking. And that's what God wants us to have, is a relationship with Him that we know Him, that we know His character, we know what His will is, right? Because we spend so much time with Him that we become more and more as one. That's the beauty of what prosperity is. That's the prosperity that I desire, is to have an intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father, that I know Him. And Christ represented that here on earth. Because He says, I can't do, what did Jesus say? He can't do anything. but he only does what his father tells him. He talks about his relationship, his communion with the Heavenly Father. So in John 14, hopefully I'm not boring.